I really think it is just to be eyes wide open that consumer behaviors shift so quickly. And it is imperative for a credit union to keep an eye on what's happening in terms of shifting consumer behaviors and to react accordingly.
Welcome to 22 Minutes in Lending, your go-to podcast for insights on all things lending. From lending practices, regulatory updates, how to enhance lending efforts, and more. In each episode, Vince Passione connects with industry leaders to discuss the latest trends and happenings around the lending industry. Let's dive into the latest in lending.
Welcome, everyone, to 22 Minutes in Lending. I'm your host, Vince Passione, and I'm happy to have our next guest, Richard Water, Chief Lending Officer at Patelco Credit Union, join us today. Richard has held executive roles at Citibank, including Global Head of Personal Lending and Head of U.S. Retail Consumer Lending. Since joining Patelco, Richard's been instrumental in driving the credit union's success, leveraging his expertise in digital transformation and customer-centric strategies. So, Richard, great to see you. Little speeds and feeds on Patelco. So Patelco Credit Union, so one of the top 1% of credit unions by asset size, about $10 billion based in the Bay Area in Dublin, California, with 500,000 members, which, by the way, I noticed that I thought you signed your 500th member just 3 days ago. So congrats on that. Credit Union was founded back in 1936 from our research with $500 from employees of Pacific Telephone and Telegraph Company. So amazing history, Richard. So lots of credit unions focusing on balance sheets and reallocating their balance sheets. Why don't we start with the strategy for Patelco's balance sheet, Richard?
Sure. So thanks for having me, Vince. I've been at Patelco now for 6 years. And since I've arrived, Patelco has really been on a mission to create greater diversification of its loan portfolio for a couple reasons. One is to provide a more diverse set of offerings to our membership. And the second is from a financial perspective is to better position our balance sheet for various economic cycles. When you start to think about diversifying the portfolio, you start to think about meeting members where they are as well, because mortgages tend to be heavily reliant on a loan officer distribution model. And auto lending can tend to be sourced very heavily through indirect auto dealers. So along with this diversification strategy came a need to build our, I'll call it our acquisition, our loan acquisition capabilities by going direct to our members or prospects through greater targeting capabilities so that we could create prospect or member segments that we would want to specifically target with higher likelihood to opt into our loan products. So building that data and analytics and modeling discipline came to the forefront, as well as creating new fulfillment channels. And you may see in the fintech world, the Check My Rate capabilities. So we fully built that out in those years, allowing the soft pull and presenting offers and allowing a member to complete the loan 100% digitally. We also did that same work on the deposit side, and that's becoming obviously increasingly important as the right. The war for deposits has intensified as the rates and the yields on deposits have increased. So it was really fortunate that we've made the digital progress over the last 5-6 years, because an increasing percentage of our new checking and deposits are actually coming digitally.
Makes sense. So on the balance sheet, on the mortgage side, looks like looking over the last 3 years, so some nice growth in the mortgage portfolio. It looks like you closed out 2023 with about 19,000 residential loans on the balance sheet. It slowed a little bit though in 23. I'm curious, when we think about the rate environment and the rate cycle, how did that affect the mortgage book for you?
I think it's we're not immune from the big downturn in demand for mortgages, right? Because in 2020 and 21, when Fed funds were effectively zero, right? Most folks had refinanced into 3.5% fixed 30 rate loans. We were early to say, hey, we're exposed potentially to some duration risk on these very low fixed rate 30s. And we started to get cautious in late 21 when the portfolio was churning. So it was the economics of that churn weren't favorable to begin with. And we were taking on duration risk with those new originations, knowing that rates weren't going to stay this low forever. You know, what Vince, what I think I'm getting to is that this sort of deceleration on the mortgage side was very purposeful, with a mind towards sort of managing the interest rate risk once rates started to go up. So we effectively in 22, I think we decreased our mortgage originations by more than half. From 21. And then in 23, we're down probably another 40% off of that. And so we've been just very cautious. On the flip side, in terms of payoffs or refis out, right, that activity has been at historic lows for us because there just isn't much origination volume happening in this high rate environment. So from a balance perspective, you know, we are still holding and growing slightly, but we're going to be holding these 3.5% fixed rate mortgages for a while.
Now, Richard, any chance of selling any of that book?
You know, great question, Vince. I think that's in our future. In hindsight, we just don't have the outlet right now. We do sell conforming mortgages to Fannie. But that is in our future, is to create greater sophistication in terms of our outlets, because we have such a great market that we're here in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a terrific housing market. And our originations engine is very successful. So it is in our future to create greater diversification of our outlets.
Yeah. Look, it seems like the entire credit union industry is trying to get there, right? To figure out how to become a great originator and learn how to sell on a regular basis.
You're seeing that. Yep.
Yeah. The auto side, right? Probably, you're up to the 12th auto securitization. So, it'll happen. It's just taking time. So staying on the mortgage front, you signed a relationship with MyCU Mortgage last year. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it does come in the context of really trying to stay relevant with our product offerings to members and to the various partners that we work with to source mortgages. So realtors, builders, et cetera. So where we saw a lot of value in MyCU Mortgage is the ability to offer products that we wouldn't necessarily want to hold on our balance sheet. That don't necessarily meet conforming or conventional underwriting standards when it comes to FICO or LTV. So the advantage with MyCU Mortgage is that it allows us to offer to our business partners and to our membership the various government guaranteed loan programs that are specifically tailored to meet perhaps lower moderate income or provide greater flexibility when it comes to FICO or LTVs. So I think VA, FHA, USDA, government insured. We don't hold that loan, right? So MyCU Mortgage will fund that loan or purchase that loan and then sell that in the secondary markets. So it does meet that criteria for us of being able to offer it a broad array of products to our members and our partners, and then not necessarily carry that risk in our portfolio.
Hello, this is Margie Click, CEO and President of Agriculture Federal Credit Union. As a $360 million credit union, we're always looking for ways to innovate and expand our financial solution offerings to attract new members. That's why for nearly a decade, we have been partnering with Lenti to attract and acquire new credit union members.
Now, Richard, you touched on the moderate and lower income. I didn't realize it. Is Batelco a CDFI or it's not?
We are not. No.
Okay.
Not. Yeah.
And when you think about the demographic, your member base today and where you want to take the membership base, do you skew in the average, like most credit unions, about 50 years old for a member, or you skew younger?
We are really skewing younger. The latest data I saw showed our average age is 46, but getting younger. So of our 500,000 members, the average is 46, but of our new members over the last year, it's skewing closer to 40, 42. So that's been very purposeful for us. And, you know, it's one of the things I'm really, really proud of is just our ability to stay relevant in a highly competitive, modernized sort of San Francisco techie market. We have about we've averaged about 7 or 7.5% membership growth, which is really in the top decile of all credit unions.
No, very well done. Well done. And when you think about this next generation of millennials as home buyers and product innovation here, because affordability is a big issue. You know, we're just looking in our research and it looks like was a California State Farm announced it's not going to renew over 70,000 policies for homeowner insurance. So this whole cost of home ownership, especially for millennials and Gen Zs, any product innovation that you think of in the industry that people are thinking about that can somehow deal with the affordability issue, except anything other than a 100-year mortgage, right?
I think it is a brutal nut to crack, and especially in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's the affordability challenge and the scarcity of inventory that's unique to our market. And so the cost of entry is super high, as you say. One of the things that I think California State recognizes this problem. So there's a state agency that California Housing Finance Agency. And so we have recently been approved for their programs, which do provide down payment assistance and closing cost assistance. I think that's an example of an opportunity that is partnering with some of the agencies to leverage some of those programs. And then ultimately down the road, you know, I'd love to think about Batelco considering some of its own kind of grant programs as we get bigger. I could see, you know, a future where we're beginning to do some of those subsidies that are self-financed.
Understood. Now, you in our research, it looked like you launched Score Up Credit Builder back in 2022. What was behind that?
What's interesting about Batelco is Batelco has really internalized that mission to promote financial well-being to its membership. And what I mean by that is creating products that actually promote the financial well-being through the use and adoption of that product. So we have multiple products, and ScoreUp is an example of that. So by using this product, it was specifically designed to help those who are new to credit or who may have damaged credit restore a stronger credit score. And so the way it works is you basically take out an installment loan anywhere from 12 to 36 months. And rather than depositing the proceeds or dispersing the proceeds to the borrower, it goes into a savings account. And every payment is applied towards that savings account. So you're building your credit. And should you fall behind or be at risk of delinquency, we'll close down the loan and disperse the savings back to the member. So what we're trying to do here is create a savings account, because once you've fully paid off that loan, you have a fully funded savings account. So you've created savings. Mm. And you've also helped build your credit score through consecutive on-time payments for the duration of that installment loan. I mean, what we're seeing is about 65% of our members are showing an improvement in their credit score after 3 months. So it's working as designed, and is an example of creating a financial well-being benefit through use of the product.
And demographically, is it younger members that are building credit, or it doesn't sort of fall into any specific age category?
It's both, but that is a really valuable opportunity for that segment. So our frontline team members are really positioning it as a way for someone new to credit, such as as a younger person, to really be able to build credit in a responsible way.
No, so you touched on the youth piece, and we're looking at the stats on sort of opening up primary checking accounts versus, you know, just looking at payment methods, right? Looking at PayPal and others. When you think about your payment products, those debit cards, how do you view that when you've got a consumer who comes in and that's the relationship? Is that the primary relationship for you? Is that the way you look at it? Or is it still that checking account with that direct deposit of a payroll?
I think this is an evolving space. If I step back, I think when deposits were easy to come by for 10 years following the Great Crisis, right? There was a, I think we sort of lost sight of the appreciation of an operating account. Back in the old days of banking, it was a primary banking relationship through checking. So, I think today that's probably morphed into a primary operating account for payments. And so it's not just a paper check, right? But it's Zelle, it's whatever kind of in out money movement transactional account is needed. So we're really looking at that transactional account as being primary for us and putting more muscle into how do we round out that value proposition so that we have higher likelihood to own that operating account and all the money movement associated with it, be it debit card, peer-to-peer, whatever type of money movement that member might desire. So to answer your question, I think it is closer to a checking account versus debit card. Debit card is just one payment rail, right? But ultimately, we need to have a hub for that member that serves all of the payment and money movement needs that member may have.
Great. So we're getting close to time here in our segment, but you started your career in marketing at Saatchi & Saatchi, and then you had roles at American Express, and then you and I worked together when we were at Citi. And obviously you've made this transition over to credit unions, although I beat you, but just want to make sure you know that. But when you think about what is the most critical marketing lesson that credit unions need to learn based on these past 6 years of your experience at the credit union?
I'm trying not to sound cliche on this one, Vince, but I really think it is just to be eyes wide open that consumer behaviors shift so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it is imperative for a credit union to keep an eye on what's happening in terms of shifting consumer behaviors and to react accordingly. And that's a way to draw in new members to stay relevant with your current membership. And so when we were just talking about things like buy now, pay later, right? It's a behavior that's happening. You're seeing greater adoption of that product, and particularly among a younger segment of the consumer base. And so how does a credit union make sure that it is participating in those types of behavioral shifts to stay relevant and continue to build a vibrant membership, right? That is financially sustainable because it's growing.
Yeah, relevance. It makes a little sense in the world. I don't think that's cliche. I think it's common sense.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Richard. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thank you, Vince.
As always, another 22 minutes in lending has flown by. Richard, thank you for taking the time with us today. And thanks as always to our listeners. Don't forget to subscribe so you can enjoy future episodes. And I'll meet you back here for our next 22 minutes in lending.
Thank you for listening to the 22 minutes in lending podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You'll find links to any resources mentioned in the show notes. If you're enjoying our show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.